Welcome, episode 38 of Under the Holotape, a Holotable News Network podcast covering in-depth analysis, mods, tips, and the hottest topics from the hour. I am Boxy. On today's episode, I am joined by co-host with the mostest, Mole Pokey.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks so much again for helping me co-host. We'll get Sarah again back soon, hopefully next episode, actually. I've been in discussions with her contract to get her back on UTH. So, and also joining us today, Danius.
Hello.
That's really awesome. Yeah, thanks, Danius. You know, something that I really get to enjoy with UTH is getting to look into things that I wouldn't normally look into. And I mean, it's not like you hide under a rock, but certainly discovering you and all of the amazing like data work you do in the community has been just kind of really exciting. It was just just an onion. I kept peeling back layers and being like, oh man, I can't believe he's doing this and that and the other thing. And I just have had a lot of fun, you know, since getting you booked for the show, kind of diving into all the things that you do with Galaxy of Heroes.
I guess I do a lot, but I don't make too much of an effort to like promote myself, like you say. I'm just kind of there sometimes.
Well, that's great. That's what we're here for. Where I want to promote a lot of the stuff that you do because I found it fascinating. And before we jump in, though, I just kind of wanted to address, we are back from a short hiatus, a little bit of background on the lack of episodes. UTH typically does deep dives on topics, and the community has been doing a great job covering all things Galaxy of Heroes. It's becoming a crowded landscape of content creators, and sometimes, you know, I have a hard time squeezing UTH in, but I wanted to do an episode with Sep to cover the new Insight tool over there on swgoh.gg, but he did a great video with Arnold showcasing how he uses the tool. I really recommend you check it out. Arnold actually lets him speak. It's very informative, and it was actually a lot better medium because you actually get to see the tool and how he's using it. So I still have plan on having Sep on in a future episode, but with a different topic. So I look forward to that coming down the road. But speaking of topics, UTH is striking while the iron is hot. We're on the cutting edge of topics today that were relevant to the community 2 months ago. We are discussing the crate raid and the rewards with Danius, who did an amazing analysis twice of the restructured raid rewards. We will dive into that. But before we do, let's get to know Danius a little more before we dive into his data. So Danius, what is your GP?
I think I'm around 9.6 mil at the time.
Yeah, I was actually looking up your profile, and we are close, a little bit close in GP, and I noticed that you in GA yesterday were at a score of 36.10. You were sitting on the fence between Kyber 1 and Kyber 2, and you were ranked 949, so it officially did dip into the top 1,000. We have been tracking the skill squish here somewhat adamantly because since we did a wonderful episode Taliana, thank you. Regarding this everything squish. Did you win your last GA round?
I did. So I think this is the farthest I've ever gotten. I'm in rank like 600 something now. So it's very cool.
Congrats. And very
congrats.
Yeah. Very difficult also. But yeah.
Okay, well, keep it up. That's awesome. Yeah, I was definitely going to keep an eye out for your name a little bit more because I think we kind of float around the same ranks. So that's great.
Yes. So are you a Star Wars fan, would you say? And what got you into the game?
Yeah. I actually don't know exactly what got me or how I found this game, but kind of what got me into it was like when I was in high school or so, there was, I don't know if you remember the Wizards of the Coast miniatures game. So I used to be into that. And this kind of hits the same area of interest for me. So I really like the collectible strategy aspect of it, that type of thing. Only instead of, you don't have to spend any money on it. You just spend a lot of time. Yeah, I've been playing this for, I think, probably 5 years now.
Nice.
Wow, so you were pretty close to launch then.
Yeah, I think I joined around when like Jedi Knight Revan was just starting to enter the meta.
Oh, okay, geez.
So that was, yeah.
Gosh, the time flies. It's so hard, crazy to be like 5 years ago, but that was when Revan was coming. That wasn't launch, you know? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, there was. You're probably a lot older than I am, actually, and as far as experience.
Yeah, I was 1 year in, so I got to experience the Rebel meta with Rex, or with Akbar, actually. What am I saying? That was a lot of fun. Oh, so
nice.
Yeah, back in
and it sounds like I started just maybe a couple months before you did.
Yeah.
Because before Danius did, rather. Because I started just at the tail end of when solo characters like Nest were coming out, and just as Old Republic characters were starting to kick in.
Cool. Wow, and then what a time too, like to start right when Revan hit, because that was kind of the biggest. What was that like for you? Because that was the biggest power creep in the game, and then to be trying to start at a time where it's kind of
that was really crazy. Especially trying to get into Arena, because that was back when you had to climb in Squad Arena in order to like get crystals. And it was a big difference when you go from, like, you have the progression from Phoenix to Empire to Bastila and then Jedi Knight Revan, and like the chasm is so huge. And those mirror matches, those were awful too. Like, if you remember Jedi Knight Revan mirror matches, those are terrible, because you try to like kill the Jolie, and you never can do it. It's I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, that's right. That would be fun to do a tier of like worst mirror matches in the game. No bracket. So that's perfect. And so then, are you free to play? You kind of mentioned spending.
I spent like about $150 toward the beginning, and then I haven't spent since. That's kind of how I approach these games. Is I just like buy in, and then I stop and just free to play from then on out.
Gotcha. Do you have a favorite game mode?
It either would be, I mean, one of the PvP modes, either Territory Wars or Grand Arena, depending on how much time I have, really. I think I like Grand Arena more. It's just, it's such a time drain sometimes, especially in Kyber 1, where I have to spend like hours sometimes.
So do you scout out and do the whole thing and really put a lot of time into it?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I usually do some sort of scouting, but really the worst part, I think, is the fact that the meta changes every 3 weeks now, and I have to kind of like get reaccustomed to the new set of datacrons and figuring out what works, and it. Yeah, it's a lot harder than it used to be. I feel,
yeah,
a lot more time consuming, but I do really enjoy it. I enjoy like the puzzle solving aspect of trying to figure out like, how I can get the full clear.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh well, and then I was gonna say like the appeal of Territory Wars is I don't have to if I don't have the time to do all that stuff, I can just kind of like follow what the officers tell me to do, and it's just like I just need to know the counters and how to actually run it, so that takes a little bit of the weight off, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I'm sure, Mole, you're more accustomed to a lot of these TW Omicrons, but we were running into more of the Droid Eka and Geo Omicrons this last TW, and we don't, we're familiar with them, but I mean, it just, you know, lots of them are still like the whole guild, maybe not as yeah,
Yeah, although,
adept.
you know, it's funny. I've never seen, I don't, well, that's probably not true, but I have almost never seen the Geo Omicron. Like it just seems to have passed
Yeah,
everybody
everyone
by.
skipped
And
it.
I mean, nobody, like, it's not that we don't think it has no any use, but like we're not all 50 of us are not putting it on. So if we're not all doing it, then we're not doing it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Well, I think, you know, especially Danius, as you're mentioning the new Datacron set, you know, we're all kind of like, what teams are going to be unkillable, you know, with these level threes? So yeah, we're always kind of walking into landmines with the new Datacron set. So, do you have a favorite faction or team?
I think my favorite team would be Rey Jedi Training. I don't use her a lot in PvP anymore, but it's fun to use her in TB. Or whenever I get the chance. I think it's a really fun team.
Was she your favorite character as well, or would you say someone different?
Maybe. Probably her or Wampa, I think.
Nice. Yeah, she does work in TB. I feel like her and Palp Lead are probably just the two MVPs of TB, just because they can form those TM trains and can keep you going. Although I think someone was saying something about Sana being really fun. Oh, Xerath was saying Sana is his favorite team in TB, because once Kara gets going, it's just permanent turn lock, stun lock, and you just whittle them down. So yeah, I haven't tried that personally, but he definitely piqued my interest. You know, boy, CG has been doing an amazing job with bringing ships and characters to the game. Do you have anything on your mind, ship or character, that you'd like to see come?
I would like to see Darth Krayt. I feel like because we have Darth Talon, and it feels almost criminal not to have Darth Krayt as well. So I feel like he has to come, even if it's like 2 years from now. I feel like it has to happen eventually.
That's a cool one. Yeah, because then we already have kind of quote unquote a lifter for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for him to
Would he be a
synergize.
Tusken though?
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah, maybe that'd be interesting.
I mean, I don't see the Tuskens getting any more love anytime soon, but it's an
Hey,
interesting thought
we
anyway.
need a, you know, once they start running out of GLs, Tusken GL, right? Or like, you know, factions for GLs, you know, maybe we get
Sure.
the, he'll be the
Yeah.
Tusken version. So, yeah.
So here's a question for you, and it's kind of a loaded question these days, because the question we would normally ask on the podcast is what quality of life update would you like to see that's not conquest simming? And that's particularly timely because it would appear that conquest simming is in some form actually coming. We don't know exactly how. So outside of that, what would you what would do? Is there a QOL update you'd really like to see?
I would like to see anything with Datacron management. I think it's I mean it's so awkward right now. Like even if we had like navigation buttons so you could open a Datacron and open the next one without having to go back, that would be amazing. Or if we had, I don't know, like some way to see what the Datacron actually is before you click on it. Because right now it's just, I look at my inventory and it's just a bunch of level threes that are, and I have to like click on each one to see, is this the 15% one or is it not? So yeah, I think they could do a lot with Datacrons. I would really love that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, to drop Xerath again, he's always championing Datacron UI. I think every survey they put out, whether it has, no matter what they're surveying, he adds something about Datacron UI. So
And I'm sure
that's
they
all.
love him for it.
Right. Flag this one again.
Ugh.
The trash. Yeah, that's great. You know what, see if I can tag on to your thing about Datacrons. One of the pain points that I've been experiencing a lot lately is in Conquest. You know, and you get to the point where you're like farming Datacrons and stuff. I really wish you could see your quantities of Datacron stuff from like the Conquest store, because I hate having to go into like five different places and be like, how much Datacron currency do I have? How much
Yeah.
MK1? How much MK2? How much MK3? Like, I feel like I'm always having to go back out and back in and change a different thing, or look at a, you know, look in five different places to find, you know, to figure out what I need to be farming at the time, at the moment. And yeah, I just really wish, I mean, it was just kind of right there, plain to see all of your stuff right there. Well, you're already in like the conquest screen. So anyway, that was
Yeah,
my
no,
kind of little thing.
that's true.
Well, I mean, I feel like CG's always had a bit of an issue with that. Like, gear used to be that way until they invented
Oh.
relic materials, and then as a side, almost as like as an after, well, as a side note, now you can see all your gear, but only because now we have something else for you to do with it. Like, so yeah,
Yeah, and it took them forever to be able to craft within the thing that we could finally see the gear. Yeah, it's funny.
that was one thing that I think actually went away with the raid changes, because this was like a little known secret that the raid reward screen was actually a really great place to see your gear. But now you can't do that anymore. So you really do have to go back to the scavenger.
Yeah, because not all the gear is in the scavenger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was interesting. It was an alternative. Yeah, I'll take it. I didn't know that. This might be a good place to also kind of mention the just kind of speaking of data mines, Mole, that I saw something that had a data mine for turn meter track, a turn tracker.
Yeah.
And you, I think you were saying you had a little more information on that.
Well, according to, the folks who know over on the SWGOH events Discord, it seems to be related specifically to the new player experience. There's something in the way it's like, if you sort of their data mine shows a little bit of the sort of behind the scenes way things get categorized. And there's like this FTUE, something user experience. I don't know what the FT stands for, but basically it looks like it's actually only going to be for new players, which sucks, possibly. I mean, I don't know exactly what it is. One way of interpreting the way the data mine looks is that it actually reminds me of a lot of like tactical RPGs. Where you can see the turn order of your characters, like at the top of the screen, where your characters are and the enemy characters, and when your character goes, that character flips to the back of the line, and then the line, updates as things change around. Now, that's actually a fairly sophisticated system, and I wouldn't expect that to come to Galaxy of Heroes, but something like that would be awesome.
Yeah, several other
So,
games do have that,
yeah.
you know, even at launch. So, yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, but at least the way it looks at the moment, it's not for everybody. So, I don't
Yeah.
know.
Personally, I think anything with when it comes to, you know, quality of life updates with the word tracker in it, I am all for. You know, whether we could get like a feats tracker, or you know, it's like I hope this opens the door for, yeah, then maybe actually pushing for it. I think we would all love it. Yeah, because more information is always better. Great. And then yeah, so Dennis, who you grinding? I mean, you're up there all getting close to 10 mil GP. What you working on your roster?
Well, I think like probably like everyone, I'm working on Leviathan.
Yeah. Where are you at? Yeah.
I'll get it.
Okay.
I think I have like half. I have like half the relics actually applied,
Okay.
and I've got enough crystals that I'm not too worried about getting the rest.
Yeah, and then so you're just kind of waiting to see when it drops before dumping
Yeah.
into it. Okay, yeah, because when it first came out, I think I bought two blues, two packs of the blues, and then someone mentioned on the HN and Discord that the optimal strategy is actually like farming the blues because they're the worst crystal deal, and then like buying the greens essentially. So I flipped that as soon as I could, and then I started just going hard on the blues. And oddly enough, I was actually able to farm all the blues I needed after that. And then I think early on I also bought like one pack of the greens, and I'm almost, I think I have two characters left, or maybe what do I have, four, five, six relic levels left personally. So Mol, I'm sure you're just really far away.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm ready to go. It was actually, it's been a little tighter than I wanted it to be, just because there's just, well, I mean, we'll talk about this more probably later on, but there's so much stuff going on and there's so much stuff to work on, even if you kind of have everything. Like it's getting my crate characters to Relic 8. It's, I have, I mean, we don't know when Cal's coming, but we know it's soon, very soon. There's Cal. I want to get Cal. I have Reva coming. I'm 30 shards short of Reva. So ne at the end of ne next TB, I'll get Reva. So I have like all these characters I want to
Oh,
take up.
cool.
And it's just, and it's all happening at once. So I mean, it's going to leave me pretty relic poor, I suspect, after all this is over. But
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny how there's a couple of things like through the Leviathan requirements being dropped. I'm kind of thankful for every relic level I didn't put into anyone. Like, I don't have Reva, or else she would be R7 right now. I'd be that much farther behind on mats. And then, oddly enough, I actually just happened to skip, not Krennic. Oh God, the bug. I don't know why I'm like having such a hard time thinking of stuff. Admiral
Rat.
French.
Oh,
French.
French.
And so it's like, yeah, thank goodness. Like I have all of his relic levels too. So yeah, got lucky in a couple places. So yeah, I'm closer than I would have been otherwise. But yeah,
This is
great.
this, this has kind of been a brutal few weeks for like our crystal stashes, I guess, because like we have, like you had the chase events, and now you have to buy all the relic mats, and then you're gonna have the refreshes for the Leviathan, and it's tough.
Yeah, I typically don't do the refreshes. I do the slow farms on the ships. I'm waiting for CG to figure out that the, a counter only works at 7 stars, because I've been able to climb in arena or beat the mirror at 5 stars, no matter, with both of the meta ships that have dropped. So as long as that continues, I'm going to continue with the slow farms. But or just try and moderate those refreshes. So I certainly don't go super hard, and I almost feel bad for the people. And I don't feel bad, obviously, but just it's a time sink when that first drops and you're trying to take it to 7 stars, because you have to like redo that mission over and over. And it's like, in the way that they've the difficulty rating that they've set at that is certainly time consuming.
The good thing is it tends to get faster the more you go.
Okay, yeah, that grows exponential. And then I really quick, I did want to give a shout out to Savitar, who was the one who told me about the optimal strategy for grinding the signal data. So kudos to him. He saved me. He saved my bacon there, which I think a lot of people haven't been talking about. So I kind of did want to promote that, just in general.
Sorry, can I ask who, or who did you say that was? I guess
Savitar.
I'll listen back to it, because I actually was under the I was under a different impression, but I'll check his
Oh.
I'll check his out. I was under the impression it was you want the greens, then the dark blues, then the light blues, but I could be wrong. So like I'll check it out on my own time, but.
Yeah, because I think he was just saying that if you're going to end up having to do any crystal purchases, it's best to have to keep your blues at a minimum. But so just because they're the worst deal, right?
Yeah, makes
So
sense. Okay.
yeah. But I always love like varying opinions. Well, because when he said, I was like shocked. I was like, how, that can't possibly be right, right? Because you just feel like when you're Because farming the dark blues, yeah, feels miserable when
It
you're
does.
like you're getting one for like a group of Sims. So, yeah, that's great. And then, yeah, I know. Gosh, yeah, so much going on, and let alone the fact that we just, people put in a lot of relics for the raid. Yeah, there's a lot going on, and then plus a GL coming. So, great, lots to work on. Shout out to your guild.
At the Senate Mandalore, we're very competitive. We're a very competitive and successful guild, but not as we're not sweaty, I guess you would say. We don't not that there's anything wrong with being in a top level guild, but
Right. I like calling them sweaty. What is the GP of your guild, do you know? Or just you flag
I'm
something
actually
around
not I'm
about?
not sure. It's like 500 mil or
Oh,
something.
okay. Yeah, I actually have your profile. 500. Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, wow. 517. Cool, man. That's a big deal. Look at you, Mr. Big Deal. Yeah. That's up there. Well, let's talk about the raid and rewards. So, before we get into this, I just wanted to kind of ask you real quick a little bit more about your background with data and kind of just, I mean, being a, it seems like you're almost a glutton for, do you get excited when something like this happens and then you get to like dive into all the data that you did this, these breakdowns, this analysis, because it was involved with what, the analysis that you did.
Yeah, honestly, I do get excited about it. I do really enjoy like the analysis and working with data and that type of thing.
And what, yeah, what's your background a little bit? That kind of
So,
what that is that is a hobby, or do you actually have some
so I guess
professional?
I so I'm a software developer. I guess I don't necessarily work with data as part of my job, but I have like a math degree, so that kind of plays into this
Wow.
and yeah, I mean that's basically my background in that. It's mostly just something I enjoy doing, really.
Okay, great. Yeah, a little bit of hobby, a little bit of, but I mean, you certainly have an aptitude for it. Looking at the data sets and some of the other things you've done, it's immediately apparent.
Oh,
So,
thanks.
when the raid first launched, I mean, how bad would you think the actual structure, like the reward structure, was? At least compared to what we'd already seen.
Yeah,
I know how.
take us through like when the reward changes were coming and what kind of you went through.
Well, I think it did. I have to remember now because
Yeah,
it's been a
I
while.
know, I know. Yeah. That's my fault.
I no I think at first I actually kind of took them at their word that the rewards would be as good or better. So I kind of until I did actually did the analysis, I kind of assumed that would be the case. And when I did it kind of turned out it's a little more complicated. Some people win out, some people lose. Yeah, I guess that was, but as someone who was in one of the winners, I mean, I guess it was more exciting for me personally, but overall, I think yeah, it was worse than I thought it would be at first.
And what was it like when you made your first post? Because I mean, there was so much outrage regarding the rewards, and here you are just trying to help the community break it down, right? And I can only imagine like the first post you released must have gotten quite, or like you were just a bit of a whipping boy at all, with people's outrage.
Yeah, there was definitely some of that. I think the highest upvoted comments did tend to be like people just using my post as like a launching point, as like a launching pad to vent their complaints, which is fine. I kind of expect that to happen. But most of the comments actually did engage with what I had to say. So it wasn't, all in all, it wasn't that bad.
Wow, there were some constructive people in
Yeah,
there.
there actually
Incredible.
was. Yeah, I believe it or not.
No, that's great. I know Reddit gets a bad rap, but there are some good people, on there. I mean, we're on there, so that's great. That's amazing. And so then they announce, they're redoing it, but the outrage got through to them. And I guess I kind of want to ask here as well. So, what was the trial and error of figuring out the comparison the first time around? Because then the second time around was probably much easier to do the analysis once you kind of figured out how and how to break it down, right?
There, so there, I definitely learned some things after I did the first round. So like I think I forgot to include credits, or I wasn't aware that I could. I didn't forget, I just wasn't aware that you could buy credits. So I kind of was able to factor that in. And there was I made some other changes too, like some stuff that some of the things that I realized myself, or that people commented on the original post. So yeah, it was a little bit more refined. But for the most part, yeah, it was like most of the work had already been done. I just had to, plug in the new numbers. So I got that, I think within hours of the changes actually being announced, because it there wasn't much I had to do, which was nice.
Yeah, for the second round, that's great. I
Right.
did look at those posts, and it was nice that some of the people engaged with you and did try to, tackle areas where maybe you were inadequate or you could,
Yeah.
improvement. And I think that was helpful for you in a couple of cases. And then there are some other people who are like, "Nah, dude, that's not right, just because I say so." So I thought that was kind of funny seeing both the reactions, and I enjoyed kind of reading the people that you were engaged with, like, okay, like, or someone would say, like, I came up with some different numbers. You're like, okay, like, let's, like, what did you do? Like, let's figure it out together, that might help you with your analysis. So then the reward structures changed, and what did you, so you actually did the analysis. So, I mean, what did you think about, seeing, wave one versus wave two, I guess what kind of was your reaction when you actually got to see the data of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely an improvement. I think we moved kind of from some people win and some people lose to almost everyone wins at least a little bit overall. I mean, there's always some nuance, and there's always some obscure situations, like you're this, like if you're the whale in a really casual guild that has like mercs. So you get the top spot every time, and now you're not, like, I guess that person's gonna lose out now, but I think the vast majority of people, I think most people should feel good about the new changes. I do. There's some things you need to adapt to, but overall, I think it's good.
Do you like the new system as compared to the old? Like, I mean, irrespective, like, assuming the numbers are basically even for the sake of argument, I mean, do you actually like the way it is with a sort of, you buy your rewards now versus the, I guess, randomness of the old system?
Yeah, I do. That is another thing I like about it. Because I mean, it gives you more control to do what you want. It's also nice that you can like panic buy certain gear types, because like you if you need, like, I need 300 of this amount, you can actually kind of do that over the
At
course of a
once,
day.
almost,
Yeah,
yeah.
practically. Yeah. So that's nice. I mean, yeah, I think that's a really good aspect of this too.
Yeah, I.
Minus the fact that you have to scroll through to scroll through all that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's too bad scrolling isn't considered new content, or else they would have really, like, hit
Yes.
the nail on the head with bringing us new content. 'Cause, oh my God, I'm so sick of scrolling in that goddamn store. Let alone, like, if you were someone who had to buy characters every time, you have to scroll to the bottom.
I'm still hopeful they'll put in some kind of filter. I don't
Yeah.
know. Who knows, but be
Right.
nice.
Well, I mean, call me old fashioned, but I think a cur I vote one currency, one store, and think each store should just have one currency. Except for the weekly store, that's fine. I get that. But yeah, the other ones, it's like, most of the other ones, have one currency, except for the ones that have to do with the raids. And yeah, we're still waiting on that UI change for the currency visual update. So hopefully we'll
Oh
get
yeah,
that.
that's true.
Yeah, next week as well, which I really thought was going to be implemented like that week that they announced it, because it was just like, it's like, okay, yeah, just going to change how something looks. That should take 2 seconds when you're like updating bugs or something, right? So
Yeah.
yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I want to really jump, take a step back a little bit. Can you talk a little bit more about how you went about your analysis? Like, what exactly you did in terms of like weighting things and comparing things to, the new structure to the old structure.
Yeah, so I mean, it probably wouldn't be, I don't think I could, I mean, I can't go over the entire post in this podcast. If you want to do that, you can read it yourself. But let's see. So like overall, what I mean, what we're what the way we go about it, the way I went about it is, I had already done the research for how much gear each raid drops, and so we can kind of divide that by how often you run the raid, to figure out like how much you're getting per day, and then we convert those to how much of the new currencies they would be worth. So like if you get say you get 50, or say you get like 10 Mark III Carbontes a day, how many Mark I raid tokens is that worth? So we just convert that all, we convert all of that stuff into the new currency values. That's the essence of what is happening there. I guess beyond that, it's a question of like how much time you want me to spend going over this, I guess.
Oh, sure. I mean, however, yeah, in depth you want to get, quite frankly, I think it's kind of fascinating. And I, while you were putting yourself out there, I think a lot of people missed it, because there was, I mean, even my guild, a lot of people that were talking about it was, the feeling of the changes didn't necessarily match up with the facts of the changes, right? And so I was trying to share your post kind of everywhere to, the people who are yelling about how terrible everything is and the changes, and being like, well, okay, but here's the analysis, right? Like, I know you feel everything is, the sky is falling, but and so yeah, I mean, I just kind of want to, yeah, get a little bit more of that out there.
Yeah, I can go over a few other things. So yeah, so that's kind of like the baseline, what I just described. But there are also a few things that are kind of not right if you just do like the raw numbers like that. So like one of the things is that most players will have essentially a lifetime supply of certain gear types. Like think Mark 8 design techs or aero magnifiers probably. So we can essentially say those are worthless, and just throw those away. Which is what I that's what I did for those for a small handful of gear types like that. Then there was also the Kyra tech, which for some reason it costs like about five times more than they're actually worth in the new raid system. So you probably that is not a good way to go about valuing Kyra tech. So I cut it by like a factor of four. That kind of that's another thing that kind of reduced or people weren't doing that, and so the changes looked worse by comparison. That's something I saw from a lot of people. Let's see what
Well, I think
else.
even just to touch on that, the Cairo is kind of like an interesting dynamic because I've, I just gave up on considering. I mean, we used to get, you were, but kind of cheer if you got Cairo to drop from the C-pit. And now, but yeah, I mean, I just completely slipped my mind like any equivalence of getting Cairo from raids, right?
Yeah, so that's one of the thing that's one of the hard parts that you'll have to adapt to with the new system. So you'll have to, I mean, pretty much every current, at least from speaking for myself, every currency that can buy Kairotech other than crystals is used to buy Kairotech. That's pretty much how I go about it, and I think that's probably how most people should go about it now.
I think some crazy people still spend their raid stuff on the Cairo if they're really desperate, but yeah, it's certainly not optimal.
Yes, exactly. So let me think if there's other things I should mention about the analysis.
Oh, sure, of course.
Oh yeah, and then there was like, so like part of what you got with the old raid rewards were currencies. So like the guild tokens or the guild event tokens, or you even got shard tokens from like the extra Treya shards that you didn't need. So to convert all that, I kind of picked like a typical purchase that wasn't too lopsided. And use that to like form a conversion rate between those currencies and the new raid currencies. So that was also added into the lump sum. I
Yeah,
think
I didn't even think of Shard Shop. Like, we don't
yeah.
get nothing from Shard Shop now. I mean, obviously, yeah, my Shard Shop currency has been dropping slowly, but yeah, I didn't really, because, and that's the thing, you can't even, like, if you have those characters, you can't even go and, like, purchase shards from the store.
Right.
Yeah, so that, yeah, I did, I, again, just those little things, yeah, that I didn't even slip through, and I think it's fascinating that, yeah, you have to account for that with your analysis. And then the same thing too with like the currencies, which I think is a difficult juggling act now for probably smaller accounts, because where I'm at and maybe where Mole is at and things, it's a little more linear. Like, I need less gear 12 gear, I'm more focused on relics. I need, I don't need any character shards and things, or maybe I'm getting stocked up on like core gear, so I need less of that. So, I'm actually, for the first time, I get to kind of swim in credits here and there. I'm like making credits purchases that are important for getting more mods and stuff. And especially with like all the ship currency we've been spending with the ships coming out, it's kind of nice to be able to throw some of this guild currency at picking up some of the fleet credits. So, I mean, and I feel like that's kind of been an awesome boon for late game players to have the versatility of kind of being able to pick an avenue and go hard on it. But I can definitely see where it would be a real struggle if I was early game and I'm having to juggle shard, deciding, do I get credits? Do I get shards? Do I get core gear? What do I need at that point?
I think that is the big, I think that's the big pain point with the new system is that early progression. I think that's Like, this is something I mentioned in the analysis, was that at first it's going to seem really great because you're getting all this currency, and whatever your bottleneck gear type is, you can suddenly funnel all your currency into buying that. But eventually that's going to go away, and you're not going to have all these stockpiles anymore. If you're an experienced player, or if you're a new player, you never had those stockpiles to begin with.
Right.
So I think once you account for that, it actually is kind of a downgrade. And then you have to account for the credits, and then any credits you spend on remodding to do the raid. I think, yeah, that's in addition to all the stuff that you mentioned. Yeah, that's what hurts.
That's the other thing I always think of with the new player is, being a late game player coming into relics. I still have a lot of carbonite circuit boards, but oh my god, that would be a nightmare dealing with like early game gearing and also forming carbonite circuit
Yeah.
boards. Mul, do you still have, I mean, with all the relics that you apply, do you still have carbonite circuit boards, or is that a pinch point for you at all?
No, it's not. I have bought the 500 crystal
Oh, I do that every
CCD.
time it comes up.
I've done that a
Me
couple. I mean,
too.
I don't, I have, I always, I sometimes I get one or two. I don't know. I like inevitably I seem to get like I pick up like 400. With like on like it's you get so many, like it's such a good deal
Okay.
for this game anyway. So I, I've never really run out. I mean, I have my pain point. I mean, aside from the sort of upper level relic materials, is the same one a lot of people have, is bronzium. But even that is becoming less, slowly is becoming less of an issue.
Oh, cool. That's good to know.
I part of it has to do with the fact, well, part of it is that my account is at a point now where I'm doing a lot more relicking from like 7 to 8, where bronzium isn't a factor anymore because it's not, remember they removed bronzium and
Yeah.
CCDs from that. So that's part of it. And the other part of
Cool.
it is, I don't know, like it's just slowly happening. Like I'm accumulating enough. But there have been some tight moments in the last few months. So
Yeah, and Danny's, do you experience that too? You also pick up those carbonite circuit boards and stuff. Do you ever run into issues with pinch points on those or bronziums?
carbonites, I do usually, when I see the pack, I buy at least one or two of them. Is there a limit? I think there is. I don't know, but
Oh, I didn't
it's
know.
10,
I think.
Oh,
You
geez.
buy
Okay.
by 10.
Well, I definitely don't do that. I buy like one or two when they show up, and that's usually enough to tide me over.
Yeah. I try to keep, well, I have like 3,700 carbonite circuit boards right now. I try to keep over 3,000 because I dread the day that like I have to farm node 1E or something like that desperately because I don't even have one circuit board, right? Because I just feel like that's gonna be really, it's gonna, I don't, it's overdramatic to say it's gonna ruin the game for me, but it would certainly make things a lot more difficult because there's so many other pinch points I actually experience that I need to focus on, right? So something so low would be really rough if all of a sudden I'm having to divert from Cairo farming and stuff like that. So great. Well, I think that was actually awesome. Everything you kind of brought up there with the analysis with stuff that I didn't necessarily think of that you have to really consider. In doing a one-to-one comparison. So I guess the kind of the question where that leads us is, I mean, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit, everyone's a little bit better off, but can you give your breakdown of your kind of final verdict on the rewards and the structure we have?
I think overall, this is outside of what we talked about earlier with like the early pain point of going to getting people to gear 11 and while juggling the credits and the shards. Outside of that, I think this is a very good change for almost everyone. As long as you can hit, say, like 17 mil, I think this is these changes are really great because one thing that a lot of people may not have considered originally is that now you can spend all those Mark II tokens on the G12 Plus gear, where before before you were getting a lot of these left-hand gold pieces that you didn't necessarily need, and now you don't have now you can kind of convert that to stuff that you actually do need. So I think even if the raw value doesn't seem like a huge jump, I think in practice it will be. So yeah, I think for most people, this will be a very good change.
Yeah, and 17 mil, that's a pretty low bar for at least clearing being beneficial, right?
That's just like 300K a person. I think as long as everyone in your guild participates, you can absolutely do that. That should
Okay.
be it. Except, I mean, unless you're like a really early guild, but if you're like at the tier where you're like unlocking Malak, and you're getting all those Old Republic characters, I think you can definitely get 300K. I don't think that'll be a problem for you. So I think, yeah, it's a lot easier to succeed in the crit raid than people thought it would be.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially to hear some people I think are still doing the Sith raid, which I can't, I personally still can't. I mean, I'm doing the crate. I've never done the Sith raid since the changes. So in my brain, like the Sith raid is still the same, like four waves soloing and getting rewards, right? But this same structure affected the Sith raid. So it's hard for me to keep that in mind and what that, I mean, I can't even fathom what that's like. Yeah, for people running the Sith raid now in this crate raid style. So that's really interesting. But those people are those people worse off if they were doing whatever, maybe Sith raid and CPIT before, but they're not able to jump into the crate?
I would overall I would say, I mean it's kind of debatable because you have to kind of consider the value of being able to buy what you want, but yeah, in terms of raw value, you're getting quite a bit less than you were before if you're just doing the old Sith raid or the new Sith raid, especially if you were in the top 10 before, then it will be way worse. Because top 10 Sith, I mean the top 10 Sith raid players under the old system were getting a lot of rewards, and I think the break point is like it's like 130 mil
Right.
under
And
in the new
create.
system
Yeah.
is equivalent to a top 10 raider under the old system.
Yeah. Which was me. And I'm still on that $90 and it hurts every 3 days. But I did want to say, I think one of the biggest pushbacks that I heard from people was, this sentiment that in the Sith raid, you could get a full right side piece. And the fact that, I think it was a little hard for people to wrap their mind around this new raid structure, it being possible that this new raid structure was going to be an equivalent to getting or compete with getting a full piece of right side gear from the Sith raid. Can you talk about that a little bit in terms of like its equivalence? Because I think you do, like when you're running this raid, this is me just saying, I don't know, I'm asking, but it seems like this raid running every 3 days and the amount of gear you could buy with the MK2, you can get the equivalent of a full gear piece in about the same amount of time if you were to dedicate it all to those components.
Well, one, I guess the important thing to remember is that the fully crafted right side piece that's very rare. I don't know the exact drop rate. I don't think anyone does, but when I did my analysis, I assumed it was like 7.5%. I think that's which I think is about what most people would say it is.
Sounds reasonable.
When you account for how rare that is, It does. I mean, everything that I just said is still true.
Not to mention, sometimes you got a furnace, and that was awesome.
Yeah, that was more important.
Sometimes you got one of those, like the laptops or something, where like, yeah, there are characters who need them, but they're like very all too often I got a fully crafted piece. I was like, yes, I have no one to use this on right now. Like, there's no point.
Or the
So.
fact that we all have like 15 of those Atom looking, like full pieces of those Atom looking gear that can't be
Oh
used
God.
anywhere. I
Yeah,
mean, you know,
I have over 30 at this
I'm
point.
sure, yeah, you probably have way
Just
more than those, right? I'm just
stupid.
being conservative, yeah.
God, I wish you could break them down for something.
Right.
Let me break them down for bronzium. I don't care.
Yeah.
Let me do something with
Bronzium. That's funny. And then I wanted to, and then this is, I think, the unspoken hero of the changes, right? Which is being able to choose your gear. I mean, I don't think, which I think CG realized and maybe weighted it incorrectly the first time around,
Yeah.
but the power of being able to choose only what you need when you need it, with what seems like an ample amount of currency every 3 days, snowballs. Like, that is an effect that seems to domino very quickly over time. And it's funny because I think it's like even the players are catching on, even like the outrage on Reddit is catching on, where it's
Yeah.
like it was initial outrage, and now the people, like, enough time is passing that the effects of being able to choose exactly what you need is compounding, is so much so that the sentiment overall is changing. And so, yeah, I guess I just kind of wanted to ask your thoughts on that effect. And I guess, and this kind of goes to Mole too. I mean, because, everyone has everyone at different levels has different needs, right? And now
Right.
you get to directly fulfill those needs, not randomly.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful. At least speaking for myself, the way I've used this is I'm buying less of the purple gear and more credits, which has been really, really nice for mods. I'm buying, or I say buying, but I mean, when I say buying, I mean like receiving. I'm buying as opposed to just receiving it as a raid drop. I'm getting less of those left side gold pieces and more of the right side gold pieces, which is what I needed. And then, not to mention all the relic materials I'm getting, so I can now focus all my crystals into signal data. It's really just the fact that, like, just being able to move the pieces around like this has really accelerated my progression, just from that fact alone.
Yeah, that's a really good question, I guess, with rate of progression as well. I wonder if people are seeing, if you're able to get in that 17 mil box with, maybe a smaller guild, if they're noticing a significant difference in the rate of their progression just because they're not having to rely on random drops. And then, Mole, what's it been like for you? I mean, even I find myself shifting on to relics and being kind of excited because now I can completely focus on just one kind of aspect of progression.
Yeah, it's actually been it has felt a little bit surreal at times. I mean, I realize I'm in an a lucky position because I have, with the exception of Captain Rex, every character at relics. So gear like gear 11 or purple gear hasn't actually been a huge issue for me in a little while anyway. But now I don't even know what to spend the Mark One currency on, really. Like, I have over 500 of everything, and that's not a boast. Like, it's just, I used to run out of the Mark III whatevers that you could trade in for the Danishes, for the relic I used to like be constantly trying to find those in stores. Now I have hundreds and hundreds of them. I'm never like that relic piece has officially stopped being a pain point for me and will never be one again.
And are you buying the Danishes directly or the gear to
No,
compose them?
I'm buying the gear because those the
Yeah.
Mark III, they're
Like, right,
so
Mark
cheap.
III is for
Like
the
you're buying,
Danish,
like I
right?
can buy 70 at a time or 140 or whatever, 125 of them at a time. Like
Yeah.
it's every 3 days
Yeah.
or more frequently. But I mean, like it's crazy. Stun guns are off the table as ever being a concern. Carbontes off the table.
Yeah,
Like
the
it's
core
just,
gear especially.
the core. Yeah, it's just so cool. It's just weird. It's a very strange feeling to not only know that, like, to just I don't know what to spend it on, but there's a
Yeah.
cap, so I
Right, there's a
have to
cap.
spend it on
Yeah, right.
something,
That's your biggest problem is probably that
and the other
cap. Your
and and
yeah,
I'm I'm
biggest
actually
worry.
not buying right side Gear 12 pieces. I'm buying left side mostly because I want to break it down to for like to take characters from Relic 7 to Relic 8.
Yeah.
Or 8 to 9, and I don't have actually a huge amount of fully crafted pieces, Gear 12 plus pieces saved up, but I have a few of each. So at least for the moment, I can concentrate on the left side. But there will probably be a point where I have to swap back and do some right side pieces. But there's still get two currency every so often for that as well. Like it's or is it get two or get three? And whichever get it is. So it's I don't know. It just feels like it's all about relics now. However I can get more signal data or more of the sort of upper tier relic materials, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you feel like in the relic progression, it's going faster, which I think we all kind of wanted. Like now we're seeing a lot of people, the sentiment was like, why would I ever R9 something, right? It's like a bridge too far.
Well, it's going sort of faster. I mean, I think I have, I have the same problem that a lot of people had, which was with this raid initially, and that was there was a perception problem. It didn't feel the same. It felt slower. It's not. I know it's not, especially with the revision, where every where a bunch where the the stuff got moved to the front end of the progression, but it feels slower, and it's like. It's like people were complaining about credits. It's not actually that you're getting fewer credits. It's that they're just not being handed to you. It feels like you're not getting as many credits, but you can spend the currency on credits and get lots of credits. So, I still it feels because of the way CPIT was structured, and you just got seven of whatever that relic material was, no matter what, you showed up, you got seven basically, if as long as you participated, and so. It, and even though I can absolutely use the Mark III material, and I am using the Mark III material to buy that, it feels slower to me. It's also it doesn't help that my stockpile of those pieces sort of ran out and that corresponded to when the crate raid launched. So it has felt like a struggle. It's not actually a struggle. It just means I can't do whatever I want the exact second I want to do it sometimes. Boo hoo, that describes this entire game. So, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think it's interesting just seeing the different directions, because even Danny, as you brought up, buying credits, and I love just being able to like go ham on credits, and then just allows for more risky mod purchases, because it's almost
Yeah.
like that's another area where it's really nice to be able to switch your focus, that you just feel like you're so stressed on core gear all the time, and now it's like, oh wow, like I can really shift my focus onto improving my roster with mods. Mods are always not necessarily a secondary thing. I mean, we're always focusing on them, but now it feels like a whole new freedom to be able to really, a new avenue to go at it. Should you choose to, should you be at that point, because you can just really bump up those credits now. And a lot of times you can go through your credits so fast. Like, I don't understand how people who have like these 400 million stockpiles. Well, I mean, I do. I guess they just aren't maybe modding it as hard as they could be, but yeah, I mean, if I have 400, I would just I, even if it's a like a three speed, I'd probably still be getting it. Although I think there also becomes a point when you get stockpiles where it's like, oh, this 15 still isn't necessarily going to move my roster because now I'm like so good with mods, you know, and I'm not there, so I'm trying.
Me neither.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I just think that's really exciting. And then I just kind of want to ask you, Danius, because we are talking about a lot of purchases in the store right now, and you've been doing so much wonderful analysis. Have you shifted your analysis a bit to like what are the optimal purchases in that store?
I haven't done a detailed analysis of it. No, I as far as like,
Well, I
but
guess.
I mean, I know like the basic things. Like for instance, which we could go
Okay.
over. Like for instance, you shouldn't buy the, don't buy the left pieces with Mark II unless you. I mean, if you can afford it, because it's much more efficient. To be buying the right pieces
Okay.
with the raid tokens, and then the left pieces you can buy from like the guild event store or the shard store.
Right.
That's so that's one example. Let's see what else is there. Like in terms of what relic materials to buy, so like you only want to be buying electron conductors and up.
Right, okay,
I
and up,
don't
right.
I don't think you I, in my this is my opinion. I think it's actually I think you should avoid buying the electron conductors if you can, just because it's so easy to buy that stuff from the shard store.
With the MK2,
Yeah,
right,
so
as
even
well,
though
yeah.
it is technically the most efficient purchase, but it's so easy to get it
Yeah,
elsewhere.
sorry. I keep getting confused because you can't buy the Electrium with the MK2. The Electrium is the MK1, right? Or
Right.
the
Yeah, I misheard you. Yep.
Sorry about that. That was my fault. But you, yeah, because you can get those pieces for the with the MK2. And so then, yeah, so then when you're talking about those top tier like MK3 relic pieces, are you recommending going Zimbiddles all the way or? Or do you think, or yeah, what's the breakdown on that?
I mean, yeah, Zimbiddles and impulse detectors are the main things you should buy. If you're in a scenario, I mean, yeah, those are the main things you should buy, and then only buy like the Electrum conductors or the Gerda keypads if you have to. That would be my advice.
Yeah, because even with the impulse detectors, because that's all just that left side gear, which I feel like I'm constantly farming hard from shard shop and get store here and there. The impulse detectors hasn't been a gate or a pain point for me yet, but yeah, I know a lot of people experience it.
The issue with the impulse detectors is that there's only three gear types that you can use, and they only show up so often in the shard store, so you can only get so many of them no matter how much currency you spend.
And they tend
And
to be the more commonly one needed
right,
ones for characters. Heavily
exactly.
used.
That's true too. Yeah.
That's why I'm just farming those anytime, all the time, nonstop. Yeah. And so, but I guess, yeah, I haven't hit that where the compounding, you know, effect of the characters and forming them has drained me completely. But yeah, I know that that's uncommon, not very common. A lot of people have that issue. So it's good to mention, yeah, the impulse detectors. I'm sure a lot of people are making those purchases. And then especially too with like the arrow magnifiers now, a lot of people, anyone who was like doing CPIT may have like many of those. I had over 1,000. I'm just under 1,000 now after doing a couple nines. But yeah, like Mole, that's kind of a good question for you. Like, where are you at with arrow magnifiers? Are you ever dumping the MK1 into arrow magnifier?
Yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my biggest, that's one of my biggest gates right now. 'Cause I mean, I have like 50 or something right now.
Wow.
I mean, I ran through a lot and As I said, my stockpile is basically exhausted right around when the
Oh yeah,
Ray launched.
right.
You know, so it's so they are a significant gate for me. And like I sort of mentioned earlier, because I know between Cal and Reva, these are characters I'm going to want to take at least to R7. Reva probably R9. Cal,
Probably.
who knows, but I want to leave the door open anyway to take him to at least R8. If we'll see what his kit is, but so yeah, so I'm right now just I'll have enough by the time they're both in my possession, but that'll leave me with back down to zero basically. And it didn't help that taking Malak to R9 and taking Revan to R9, and all the rest of this kind of stuff. So
How
yeah,
many
I kind
characters? How
yeah sorry,
or
go ahead.
I was just going to ask, well, how many characters do you have at R8? I was just curious.
Oh, I don't know. A
Like,
bunch.
is it maybe a third of your
I
roster, or?
I doubt it's a th oh. Geez, I really have no idea.
No.
I don't think it's a third, but it's probably approaching a third
Wow.
these days. I don't know. I maybe it's only maybe it's a quarter. I don't know.
I'm up to 24 R9s on your account at the moment.
Wow.
The yeah, 30. Yeah, so the and then yeah, the rest have been all R8s down to a ways. But yeah, I mean, that's significant. That's great. I feel kind of blessed to be at this point where, I have this surplus of aero magnifiers, but I am going to kind of keep an eye on it like I do with the carbonite circuit boards, just because I know I'm putting all of my resources into other areas, and that will slowly be drained as time goes on, that I may need to protect that surplus occasionally as it dwindles.
My nightmare right now is that, as people develop Leviathan strategy, someone's going to be like, you need to have your, in order to get the turn order right, you need your Sith assassin to be R9 or R8 or something. Like,
Oh, interesting.
you know what I mean? Like, something's, it's just like, no, I, well, I hope
Yeah.
that's not the case.
No.
But I also know, like, my Sith assassin, I don't ever want to take past R5 or whatever the requirement is.
Right.
And there's a very good chance I'm going to have to take her to at least R7 or something because of the nature of the Leviathan. Or maybe not.
And the nature
Who
of her
knows?
weak ass ship.
And the nature of her weak ass ship. Yeah,
Yeah.
which, who knows? So.
Yeah. Well, what's funny? Oh, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just gonna say, what would really suck is if the optimal turn order to get it, you need to like keep Malgus, you need to like take mods off of Malgus or keep him at R7, because I know that was kind of an issue like during the Executor meta.
Yeah.
I hope we don't see that again.
Well, and that's still sort of an issue with the scythe counter to profundity, because like, I'm very lucky that I didn't take my the
Your gauntlet characters, yeah.
my gauntlet characters up to R5, because I would I mean I the, I mean we know this, and CG doesn't like it, and they shouldn't like it. There shouldn't be a system where having your characters less modded improves your
Yeah.
chances of winning something. So,
Well, that's what I was going to say is the nightmare is that, the initial strat comes out and it's like, oh, R8 Sith Assassin is the optimal strategy. And then 6 months later, someone's like, nope. R3 Sith Assassin is like even the better strategy, or like for like R3 Sith Assassin now beats the next meta ship, right? Or something like that. And there's
yeah.
just no turning back. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just a funny situation for the way that goes. Great, you guys. Thank you so much. I think we tackled everything for the most part I wanted to do with the Sith Raid. I highly recommend checking out Danius's post on this. Danius, maybe a little weekend fun project. You do a little bit of statistical breakdown on the store
Oh yeah.
optimization. Yeah, I'll continue to share that. I might even post it in our important resources on the HNN server. Just because I like just having it handy, quite frankly. I mean, it comes up less now that we're getting away from the raid and people are just kind of getting more used to it. Yeah, it'll be interesting, and I just hope people keep this in mind when the next raid comes and a new wave of outrage, is spawned. And I'm sure you'll be right there ready with a new set of data. So that'll be really exciting. I'll definitely keep an eye out for future breakdowns and analysis. But speaking of breakdowns and analysis, quite frankly, I would be remiss if we got out of here without talking about your master plan. Now, this is something I just happened to stumble upon as I was researching your beautiful brain. Quite frankly, can you talk to us? I mean, this looks like an amazing passion project. Would you tell us a little bit about what the master plan is?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you said. This is my passion project for this game. Essentially, it does what Swagga.gear events does. It's more.
Differently.
I kind of describe it as a heavy duty version of Swagga.gear events. It's a bit more. There's more of a learning curve. And you like Swagga.gear events, you do kind of need hot utils in order to get the most out of it, which I know that's an obstacle when I'm trying to get people to use it. You don't need to. You can enter your numbers in manually, but hot utils makes it much easier. But the goal of this is, I mean, really, it's just to help you to make tracking your all of your gear farming goals as easily as possible. And the big feature of this is that you can have up to six different gearing goals and sort of line them up in a sequence and show them side by side, and you'll be able to see like how close you are. You'll be able to There'll be like a visualization of your progress. There are like progress bars. And it'll filter out gear types you don't care about, so you can just focus on what are my current bottlenecks, what do I need to farm more of to get to this next goal, or while I'm farming this goal, what do I need to farm to get to the next one, so you can kind of like plan ahead. It's all very I still I mean to this day I haven't perfected my sales pitch for it, but that is that is the essence of it. The goal, I mean, we're just trying to make to help you form long-term plans and easily visualize your progress toward them, and so you can make be you so you can be smarter with your resources, basically. And we'll do and it'll give summaries, like what the total crystal cost is, like one fun
Oh,
thing.
wow.
One feature that's kind of fun is you can pick all characters R9 as one of your gearing goals, and you can see how many crystals you need to do that. I did the math at one time, and if you're curious, how much money it costs to just brute force your way to an R9 roster, it's something. Oh man, I don't remember exactly, but it was around $200,000, if you want to just buy all the gear all at once. That's just like a fun little bit of trivia, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. So interesting. And so did you just 'cause you probably made this a while ago, right? When there were fewer tools and fewer less accessibility to like gear and the composition of doing characters and stuff. 'Cause yeah, I guess I'm thinking now, I might oh, pop it open and plug in, that R8 raid team, just so I can have a better idea of how far away I am from getting my Jabba up to R8, and my Tuskens up to R7, because they're not quite there yet, just because all these other projects have come out. And I'll certainly come back to it as soon as I finish with the Leviathan requirements. So yeah, that'll be, I'm just kind of, I guess, getting a little excited thinking about using it myself. But then I guess the question I'm trying to ask is, what made just like why did you decide to really like jump into creating this in the first? I guess let me start here. When did you create this? Like, when did you start putting the master plan together?
So it's kind of hard to say exactly because it kind of there's kind of like the original version of this, I guess, was just my own personal spreadsheet
Sure.
that I just used just to see like how close I am to unlocking SLKR or something, stuff like that, and I used that. It was a very crude spreadsheet that I used for a while, but eventually I thought I can make this into like a really refined sort of product that other people could use. So that's pretty much what I decided to do. So I mean, yeah, that's basically the story. I think this I officially released it. Now I don't remember. I think it was around the turn of the year actually. So it's not actually that old. I released it around the beginning of 2023 or maybe the end of 2022.
Okay.
And I think I
Were you a little nervous to like release it to the great, or was
yeah,
that pretty exciting actually?
no, it was exciting, very nerve-wracking too.
Yeah.
And since then I've kind of refined my vision for it, so
Oh, cool.
it's a much better so like the original one was like version 0.1 and now we're up to 0.3, so I've added a lot of quality of life stuff, and it's a lot more streamlined now than it used to be. Like I really, if you for anyone who has the time and is willing, the two barriers are you have to have hot utils or be willing to enter in your gear manually. That's number one. Number two is you have to be unafraid of your browser's developer tools, which unfortunately that's just the way it kind of has to be to get to your gear data. You have to do that. So, but I give you detailed instructions on everything you need to do. So even if you're completely illiterate in anything computer related at all, you can follow the instructions. I have a video too with
Yep,
there's
I
a
watched that
the
video last night. Yep.
yeah so I try to make it as easy to understand as possible. There's a lot of information, a lot to learn, but I try to make it as simple as possible so that anyone can learn how to use this. And everyone I've talked to, that we have about like 100 to 200 users of this right now.
Yeah.
Everyone who I've talked to absolutely loves it. It's not like the most wide-reaching tool because of those obstacles I just mentioned, and that's why I describe it as a heavy-duty tool. But it's very powerful, and I try to make it as useful as possible. I'm updating it all the time.
It is intimidating, but you can tell that you have put a lot of work into it in breaching the user interface and making it accessible to people. I was able to get it loaded with my hot utils data last night. So
Nice.
yeah, that was really great. And then And so the master plan is kind of the overall idea, and then but the sheet that does display the gear is called the War Room. Now, I probably will link this sheet again, also in important resources, for anyone who wants to check it out. I just feel like, Celiac Sarah, our usual co-host, would be like, oh, so excited, because she is the type of person who would also have her own spreadsheet and catalog every single piece of gear she has into it, if it's like going to benefit, the guild, or when it comes to like a TV resource or something. So yeah, I definitely want to promote this and kind of yeah, let get in other people's hands, because it would be a really helpful tool in terms of just being able to have the control, because the filters you can apply to it, yeah, make it really useful to use.
And yeah, and I'm also, if you ever want to, if you ever think of things that can make it better, just or just anyone I'm speaking to, you can, there's a link to the Discord in that sheets, and you can pop in and give me suggestions. The filter thing, that was actually a user suggestion, which that was one of my favorite ideas that someone came up with.
Nice.
So, you know, if you think of anything, if anyone thinks of anything, I'm always open to ideas.
Sure, and Danius can be found lurking over on the events server. He does post over there quite a bit, but he also has his own Discord, and I will also be posting a link to his own Discord server on the HNN important resources as well, in case you want to be able to go over there, because he does have some helpful, he will help you troubleshoot if you run into issues. It's a great way to reach him. And then some other people have had common issues that are on there. In fact, the like latest thing you had in general was something that I had to use to get my hot utils loaded up. So that was actually kind of helpful, just hopping in there. It was just front and center in terms of troubleshooting an issue that I was having. So yeah, so that was great. Yeah, I kind of reached out because I was like, I all this really familiar. I think you have a Discord server. Like, I do. So yeah, it all worked out really well. And yeah, you too can be a part of the master plan. So that was just another one of those areas that was really exciting to kind of stumble upon as I was researching for this episode. And with that, I guess I want to real quick, CG just released a raid frequency survey. I want to bring it back to here for a quick minute. Do you guys fill out the survey?
Yes.
I have not. Yeah, I will. I meant to. I will.
And I guess I just wanted to put it to you guys. What do you guys think about the frequency of the raid? Start with you, Mole.
Well, it's funny. That's the complaint I hear now the most, is the sort of the 24/7 nature of the raid. And I have to say, it's a really tough one, because I think the raid is good. Like, I think the in principle, like, it's a smart notion of like limiting the teams, and I think the reward structure, now that it is has been, is in a good place, and into any individual battle, even if you have to remod, generally, now that people are getting into the rhythm of it's not taking a lot of time. In some cases, you have to restart a couple of times, but in most cases, people kind of have their stuff figured out. But it's still, with everything else going on, Conquest and GAC, and all the other things that go on in the game, it still feels like a lot, just kind of having it hanging over you all the time. So if I would not be sad if it ran less frequently, but we weren't penalized reward-wise based on a lower frequency. It's just to bump the rewards to compensate, I guess, basically. But because and here's the other thing, I'm already kind of bored of it, and a lot of other people are already kind of bored of it, because you do this, I mean, I know different factions, the battle is a bit different, but you're just doing the same thing over and over and over. And it's not like the Sith raid got more interesting the 100th time I did it. So,
That's kind of my point too, yeah.
yeah, in the end, I think that it would benefit from running less frequently. Even though I think actually on the whole, CG's done a pretty good job with this raid, and the intentions behind it have been pretty solid. So.
And Daniels, what are your thoughts on the frequency?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with Mole. I mean, yeah, I mean, I almost wonder what more is there is to say.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I mean, I guess that there like are some logistical issues you could have with maybe with increasing the frequency. Like, are we really going to get like a 16K currency drop, all at once? And are they going to like increase the caps? Hopefully, they'll figure that stuff out so we don't have to worry about it. But other than that, I fully support having fewer raids. I think it's just repetitive. There's nothing of there's not really anything of value in doing the same thing every 3 days. So I agree with Mole on that.
Yeah, I just want to tack on to a couple of the things that I really liked, which is the versatility of getting to use teams in a raid that we wouldn't normally get to use. You know what I mean? When it came to like CPIT or STR. I mean, I guess with CPIT, you were kind of using your whole roster there at, you know, one point because you were trying to brute force through it in the early days. But I like, you know, in terms of like the Sith raid, there were what, two GLs that could solo it? So you're like only using those all every time, every other, like every week or whatever. So again, just kind of the same equivalence, I think, which I like having a reason to use my Tuskens in a, you know, new way and like in a game mode kind of specific to them, which I think is kind of exciting. So I like the diversity of teams that kind of got chosen for it, I would say. But I agree with the sentiment of like, you know, being bored in the every 3 days of maybe burning out on it, which is, I think, something they really want to avoid is, you know, when it becomes overly repetitive and maybe 3 days is just too short of a span of, you know, not getting burned out.
Yeah.
You know, to
Yeah.
get burned out on doing it over and over again, and
Yeah, it is very good content, I think. I mean, they did a good job. It's just once you've sort of solved the puzzle of whatever tier you're trying to get to, I mean, then you've solved the puzzle. I mean, you've completed the content in my mind. So it'd be like beating Portal 2 and then just repeating it over and over again. Eventually that kind of I feel like you kind of the value is lost in what makes it and what made it fun the first time.
Well, for me, what I think is kind of exciting, because I'm not in a place where, I mean, I even have like the Jabba team at R8 or whatever. And you know, I mean, I'm pulling about 4.5 million on my score. But I feel like there's lots of room for me to improve, and I'm looking forward to growing. And let alone the fact that like if they introduce a new Mandalorian, which I think is possible in the next, you know, short time span, all of a sudden it's going to spur a whole new, I mean, unless you're some of those purposes who's getting like 2.7 with five teams, you know, it could spur a whole new, you know, shifting of teams and strategies and things like that. So I think
Yeah.
with this, there's a lot more room than, I mean, once you solo it, then it's conquered, you know, like kind of like you're saying, you've beat that part of the game. But at least where I'm at, I don't personally feel like it's conquered, you know, or like I've completed it. I feel like I still have a long way to go before I beat it. So I kind of like that aspect of, you know, where I felt like right away I was kind of beating Sith Raid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nowhere near maxing it out or anything, but.
Right.
But you know, it's interesting that you know when we talk about you know essentially completing the puzzle, you know, as Dania said, I remember, and I think it was a couple years ago on some stream, Crumb talking about how they weren't working on any more raids, because once the raid is done, like once people have figured it out, it's done, like the puzzle is solved, and the content becomes repetitive, basically. And so he himself illustrated the exact problem that, you know, we're already seeing immediately. And so CG is clearly aware of it. I mean, they know, and in some ways they're leaning into it with the fact that you have to repeat the same thing five times, albeit in slightly different ways. But you know, like there is, so you know, when people talk, I'm where I this leads me to this, which is my curiosity about how often they plan on putting out a new raid.
Right.
Because, you know, I wouldn't have thought they would put out, say, more than one a year, but
Agreed.
maybe having, you know, knowing that they are well aware of this repetition problem, I mean, maybe their plans are not what we would expect. I have no idea. I mean, I suspect we're not going to get more than one a year, but still, but you know, it, they know, so I don't know. I wonder.
The other thing that's kind of interesting, they've really been dragging their feet on fixing the five attempts bug, quote
Yeah.
unquote bug. And I'm wondering if, you know, they're looking at the data and seeing, oh, maybe the five attempts isn't, you know, a big deal. Maybe we just let it ride with, because I mean, you're limited by the roster, and maybe someone is eking out an extra million. You know, extra 500,000 to 2 million or something based on having extra attempts, and whether or not like that's moving the needle enough that they care to fix the five attempts thing.
I think the update next week is going to be really telling because, I mean, if they're going to fix it at any point, they would do it with a client update. I mean, not, I think they could do it without a client update, I assume, but I don't know. It would be the perfect time for them to do it. So if they don't do that next week, it really makes you wonder if it's going to happen at all.
Do we know for a fact that they consider this an issue? Because I know they've had like other issues, like they had the one where like your roster resets, that they fixed that, and then there was
Yeah.
the other issue where it was resetting at like your guild reset time, and now it does it at the end of day. I think that's what happened. So I don't know if they like do we know for sure that they consider this still unfixed, or
Yeah, I mean, Meathead's mentioned it as being an
he
outstanding
has.
issue. Now, that doesn't mean they won't, as you know, Voxen said, that doesn't mean they won't turn around and go, you know what? We're letting it go. You know, they could do that. So but we'll see.
Wow.
All right, well, great. Well, let's start winding down, you guys. It's time for Bantha in the room. What is grinding your gears, Molly? You got anything grinding your gears?
Well, yeah, I mean, mostly it's waiting for Riva. That's my big thing. I mean, and you know, it's such a small
You're one
thing.
TB away, yeah.
I'm one TB away, and they pushed that TB off. And I mean, hey,
Oh
you know, I
God,
mean,
of course it is. The TB that
boo.
gets pushed is the one that you
Yeah.
are gonna get her, yeah.
Like boohoo, I have to wait like an extra 4 days or something. Like
Yeah.
this is not one of life's great problems, but
Right.
it's just one of the it's just annoying. Just,
Yeah.
you know, and I understand why they pushed it off, and I'm not, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of want
Danius.
it done with. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, getting her. Yeah. Because I mean, God, I feel it, you know. And I'm still so many shards away. We've been really struggling. Well, and that's the thing is that I think a lot of people's bantha in the room right now is, where's the goddamn Grand Inquisitor event,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
It's like it should be dropping tomorrow, I think, like June 23rd, I thought, or
Tomorrow's the
something,
anniversary,
at the
yeah.
anniversary, right? And like no mention of it at all. So, yeah, Danius, you got anything?
I mean, probably mentioned most of the stuff I'm excited about already.
Yeah, already. That's right.
I guess one thing I'd like to see the Smuggler's Run 2 be summonable.
Oh, good
It
one.
does it, I don't know if there's some strategy to doing it quickly or to autoing it. If there is, I haven't figured it out, but it takes a while to get it done. It'd be nice to send that.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that it happens so frequently, but it is time consuming, that's for sure. Hey, speaking of time consuming, there were a lot of complaints today. I think it's really funny that CG was like, hey guys, we removed the number of battles you have to do in marquees because we just want you to be able to save time. And then they released a marquee where it takes like five times as much time as any other marquee because they raised like the level of difficulty on it. Like, it seemed like people were losing their minds today.
That people were absolutely losing their minds. And it's not that hard. And in fact, there is some strategy to it. Like if you like, I'm not
What
like don't get me wrong.
strategy?
I know. Don't get me wrong. That was obnoxious. I am not defending that. But if, you know, like I realized as an example, if you actually used Rex's basic, which the AI will not do on auto, he
Oh,
does a bunch of damage and speeds the
gotcha.
thing up. Like you can be strategic about it and do it
Yeah.
faster. But yes, oh God.
Yeah, I like they punish you for putting it on auto.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I pretty much said like all of my bad stuff. My big thing was going to be the scrolling. Like I don't want to scroll so much in the new store. It drives me nuts. So yeah, with that, hey guys, let's end on a positive note. What are we enjoying in the game? Mole, what are you enjoying?
Well, you know, and I feel like I've given this answer before. There's again a bit of a feeling of a calm before the storm. Like we Cal is coming next week. He kind of has to be because of the TV
Same
change.
with Leviathan, I feel
Same with
like.
Leviathan. Like this may be a really packed week next week. Like uncharacteristically packed, even for
Might
CG.
even get another marquee if they're ramping up for Judo.
I mean, who knows? I mean, we know there's at least one. We know there's one more marquee in the system behind the scenes. There, you know, it's so and I'm really looking forward to what, like, I don't think Cal is going to be the next, you know, Riva necessarily, but I think he's going to be a solid character. I hope he is. I look forward to the new planet in TB and them shaking that up a bit. There's just a bunch of stuff on the very not too distant future that's going to shake things up, and I it's a good thing.
That's great. Yeah, certainly it's keeping us busy.
Yeah.
Danius, you got anything you're enjoying in game?
I have to pick one.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot to enjoy right now, right? I mean, especially with the hints of data, the data mines with the quality of life updates that are kind of popping out. I mean,
Yeah.
conquest simming, little things like that. It's like, wow.
I don't know. I've really been enjoying Territory Wars lately for whatever reason. I don't know. Like maybe it's something about the meta that feels better. I don't know, but it might get, I don't know, it could get worse when the I don't when the with the new datacrons and like make battles take longer, maybe, but I but
We'll
so
find out. We
far,
got three of them coming up.
yeah. But I it's been manageable so far, and I've really been enjoying it.
That's awesome.
It's good.
So I want, for my enjoying, I want to give a shout out to Pico's new 52. I've actually been wanting to talk about this for a couple of weeks, but of course we haven't done an episode. But inspired by his new 52, I came up with what I am calling the 12-step program, and I invite everyone to join my 12-step program, where you take all of your characters up to gear 12. Now, because we're just at the point where the new raid is making this possible for players that are, in this 9.5, 9-ish GP arena, And, Biko even said he was like really surprised to hear that I was doing this. But as someone who is, who, an aspect of this game that I enjoy is hoarding, now that all my characters are gear 12, I just get to like hoard core gear. And I am having the time of my life just stacking core gear, stacking that cheese, as they would say. So, just have just really loving it. There is a caveat here. There are a couple characters that I do have a personal vendetta against that will not get the 12-step program treatment. But as Zareth actually said, because he actually mentioned it the other day, was he won't do this because he likes having a couple characters for fodder that he can send in, to slaughter if he needs to kill a cooldown or something in his GA. He kind of needs the characters that will die easily, so I think that's kind of good to keep in mind. And I have basically two characters that still can serve that function for me. I do plan on bringing up Trench, but he's still just on the bench for now. So I think he's like the only real official one outside of characters that are still, just being farmed in terms of being year 12. So yeah, I'm just like so excited. I got everyone like year 12 and I'm just been loving it. But now my next this is part of the fun of this whole endeavor is getting it to come up with fun names for the next project. So the next project is what I'm calling a step to the left. So I'm gonna start seeing if I could start filling in all the left side of the year 12s across like my whole roster, right? So I'll kind of maybe give progress as that goes along and just kind of seeing what I have to spare and where I can, throw on important tunes and kind of work my way down the roster of that. But I mean, what's amazing is that, and Mole, this, the closer you get that whole roster like leveled up when they announce something that's a requirement. Or, something new that's coming that, they announce requirements, you are that much closer to whatever it is. It's like less of an issue, less of a worry, less of a burden to like get there. I mean, in some cases, like Pico, I'm sure they announce something is like done. Right?
The
Maybe
panic
a lot of
goes
people.
away for a lot of it. I mean, the Leviathan panic, there was no Leviathan panic for me. Like it, the biggest thing I did was, I leveled up Bastila Shan Fallen from R5 to R7 before they clarified that no, it is in fact the other Bastila Shan, who I already had at R7, so that was fine. There was a moment of like, well, there are worse things than bringing Bastila Shan Fallen up from to R7.
Absolutely.
So,
People would probably argue she should have been seven already.
yeah, you know what? I would agree with them. So, but so, hey, there it is a very strange, yeah, it's strange to be in a place where it just feels casual.
Yeah, it's like taking your power back in a game that is designed around panic, and you take that away from them. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, just really loving that. So please, maybe I'll start a thread. We can all join my 12-step program on the HNN server. Again, I kid. I have so much fun with coming up with the names. I'm sure Pico did it too with his new 52. So yeah, I this was kind of also like a little call out to anyone, no matter what you're where you're at or what your level is, design your own 12-step program, design your own new 52. Figure out the level that you can achieve to, maybe take your steps towards getting to that panicless place in the game.
It's
So
almost like you're saying you should make this game more fun for yourself.
Well, with that, I think we will get out of here on that positive note. Danius, thank you so much for spending your time with us and sharing your resources with us and all the time you put in to figure out this data.
And thanks for having me. This has been good. I've enjoyed this. And I've enjoyed working on all this all these tools and analyses. It's been
That
good.
is awesome. Lastly, thank you to the listeners. We really appreciate you checking us out. More UTH content to come. If you want to join our conversations, please join us on Discord. And with that, it is time to
go switch off.